Meraki weather forecast, partly sunny, warm and humid with a high today around 87. Heavy demand from municipalities that want to help residents replace their lead drinking water pipes has prompted the state DNR to add $2.7 million to a new aid program from which Milwaukee and Racine have already moved to take advantage. The number and size of requests received by the June 30th deadline exceeded initial federal authorization for the $11.8 million that was available. So the DNR obtained approval to boost the amount to $14.5 million. That will mean full funding for all 38 municipalities which applied for the first year of the two-year program. U.S. Food and Drug Administration is going to have to approve e-cigarette products that have been available since February of 2007. That could actually present some problems, according to Wisconsin U.S. Senator Ron Johnson.
I certainly want to do everything we can. I think the industry wants to do everything it can as well to keep e-cigarettes out of the hands of people under 18. We're all for controlling those types of substances, but we also want adults to be able to have the freedom to access those so they can stay off cigarettes.
Johnson says it's a move that could cost the industry millions of dollars. The recommended name for the new sports stadium in Kenosha, created north of Bradford High School, got rejected last night by the Board of Education in favor of another suggestion. A 20-member committee had forwarded Mary D. Bradford Stadium out of 19 submissions, but it was a 3-2 vote. The name that was chosen by the board, Olin Arrington Jr. Stadium, after one-time board member and first African-American member Olin Arrington Jr., who died 6 years ago. Motion made by board member Rebecca Stevens, who was joined by President Tamara Coleman and Mary Snyder, with board members Tony Garcia and Gary Kunage, against changing the committee's recommendation. Three of the panel's votes were for Arrington, but 12 were for the school's namesake. Members of that committee were in attendance. They were described as being in disbelief. Racine Unified School District, meanwhile, offering up to the public at no cost a limited number of bricks from the old Knapp School. It was, of course, demolished as the new Knapp prepares to open for the first time in a few weeks. There's a chance for one brick per person until they're gone tomorrow, 10 a.m. till noon at Unified Headquarters on Mount Pleasant Street. 1 week later is going to be the dedication of the new Knapp building, constructed immediately west of the old structure and was put up back in 1911. The idea of a disc golf course in Sturtevant is still on the table, though some village trustees believe there are some pretty significant obstacles that'll have to be overcome before anything could be built at the Hiawatha Crossings Ponds area. At the continual committee meeting last night, Trustee Carrie Hobach said that comments from the village's community website all supported the idea.
Everything's positive. People do want it. It is a family activity that people take advantage of.
Parking the main problem, though, only about a dozen spaces now available. Village President Steve Jansen noting not much room to expand either.
Hiawatha presents a challenge because of the way that it's configured down there, because of the way that where the village's land starts and ends.
And Trustee Johnny Johnson noted that whole thing was designed as a water retention area, not a park.
That's how it was designed, because of the amount of land that we had access to. You know, so to put something in there to where you're going to create more traffic is going to be, it's going to be difficult because you got wetlands back in there that you can't disturb. And also, take a close look at it.
No board action last night. They put it off till a later date. And one-time Kenosha County DA Bob Jamboy's not successful in Tuesday's primary against incumbent Dane County DA Ismail Ozan, who got 73% of the vote. And with no Republican opponent in November and barring a successful write-in candidate, Ozan will be back as the DA in Dane County with the November election. As for Jamboy's, his future is unknown. Longtime ESPN and ABC sportscaster John Saunders has died at the age of 61. He began with the All Sports Network in 1986, was most recently host of the Sports Reporter Show, a position he assumed with the passing of the legendary Dick Shapp. The native of Ontario, Canada, and junior hockey star, also a founding member of the V Foundation for Cancer Research. A judge in Michigan signs an arrest warrant for one-time NFL star player Andre Rison, who's accused of violating probation in a child support case. The warrant says Rison, who caught a touchdown pass from Brett Favre for the Packers in the 1996 Super Bowl, recently tested positive for marijuana and has failed to make minimum support payments of at least $1,000 a month toward the past balance of more than $300,000. Rison, in recent times, a high school coach in Flint and Ann Arbor, Michigan. Democratic Milwaukee Congresswoman Gwen Moore is moving out of the general election an easy primary victory yesterday over former state Senator Gary George, the Racine native getting 84% of the vote. She'll face Libertarian Andy Craig and Independent candidate Robert Raymond in November. It only affects the Waterford area in far northwest Racine County, but there was a GOP primary for the 83rd Assembly District seat that incumbent David Craig is giving up to run for the Senate. The winner out of four candidates was Chuck Whitgers, who is an alderman from Muskego. He has no Democratic opponent in the November election. You could be charged $1 an hour to park along the Milwaukee lakefront as part of at least one idea to help the county erase a $2.5 million deficit. County Executive Chris Abley thinks it would be wise to charge for parking at the North Point lot and along streets like Lincoln Memorial Drive. He also says the proposed fee is less than what the city charges for parking, and it would bring in over $1 million a year. There's a public hearing on that proposal tonight at Milwaukee's Washington Park Senior Center. Federal Emergency Management Agency puts out a major disaster declaration for northern Wisconsin counties affected by the flooding last month. Governor Walker says this will let local governments apply for federal help. Many of the roads got washed out or were badly damaged by torrential rains. Racine's Public Works and Services Committee is supporting a semi-automated solid waste collection system that could be in place by next year at this time, using existing trucks retrofitted to pick up 96-gallon carts of material, including from alleys, while requiring a separate bulky waste program. DPW Commissioner Mark Yellen was stopped by the council from moving on a fully automated system until a plan could be presented. He said this will address the key issue of employee safety and also making operations more efficient.
It eliminates the majority of the hazards our workers are exposed to. So there's a lot of the repetitive motion. They aren't subject to the sharp objects, to the needle sticks. They still work out in traffic. They still are exposed to hazardous to inclement weather. They still, may be subject to slips and falls. But this can be implemented, the other advantage can be implemented citywide in the summer of 2017.
He noted a minimal impact on consumers versus the initial proposal and required spacing on cart pickup.
It isn't critical where you put the cart because it doesn't need to be 4 feet from like a parked car or something. People can, the workers can haul these things around. It's relatively easy to implement. Really, the equipment cost to retrofit those trucks is very reasonable. We issue the carts to folks, they start using them, and they get used to the bulky waste thing.
Now, informational meetings about the fully automated system that were held earlier this year were not a waste of time, according to Yellen, who noted there was valuable citizen feedback.
Folks asked a lot of questions, and they made a lot of points of things that we might not have considered without their input. I mean, it was a very valuable effort. I mean, we weren't going out. I mean, of course, we would like to be able to explain to them what fully automated, the advantages of a fully automated system. But we truly weren't trying to do a sales pitch. We were truly trying to educate them and also get their input.
The committee's recommendation of support is going to the full council, and that includes a requested cost analysis in general and to other communities that have similar operations. More than 1,300 gallons of gasoline stolen from the BP station along the East Frontage Road at I-94 in Caledonia between July the 25th and August 3rd. Police asking the public for help in trying to catch the offender. There's a photograph of a red van at one of the pumps and a press release that says the driver used some kind of a device to get past the credit card reader to activate the pump all three times. The release adds that large holding tanks or 55-gallon drums inside the vehicle were apparently filled before the van drove away. Security video, the only evidence available. Anyone who might have, though, some additional information is asked to contact Caledonia Police at 262-835-4423. Detective Rick Rager is at extension 179. In Sturtevant, the village board last night endorsing one resident's plan to create a committee to look into developing a village library. Rose Woodruff has been advocating for one for years. At last night's continual committee meeting, she asked for the support of the trustees, says she believes that a library could also double up as a community center.
Because anyone can get on the internet and do their own research now. You can draw up anything you want. But libraries are now a community center where people can come together. You can have book clubs, you can have public speakers on any issues that you want to bring available.
She said the idea was studied several years ago when Sturtevant's financial situation was a little bit more difficult. A long shot prospect back then, but things have changed. The board formally endorsed the idea with a report at their next meeting. Kenosha residents Joseph and Kathy Madrigrano have donated $20,000 to the Gateway Technical Colleges Foundation for use by the Center for Sustainable Living to help raise awareness about the dramatic reduction in the number of bees over the last decade. Called colony collapse disorder, experts say the problem has the potential to affect the world food supply as plants are deprived of their main pollinator. The effort will include a mural on the side of the center, developing informational bee signage, planting bee-friendly gardens, and developing and delivering programs aimed at discussing the disorder and possible steps that could be taken to fix it. A news release indicates the Madrigrano's gift will be endowed, providing an ongoing means of support for the effort. Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave is holding a listening session at the Eyes Grove Center this afternoon. It begins at 4 o'clock. He is especially inviting anybody interested in the Rails to Trails initiative to stop in with their comments as he begins to work on the 2017 county budget. Delagrave talked about Rails to Trails at his Caledonia listening session last month. Some ATV enthusiasts showed up, wondered if the trail might be created to incorporate their activity. Rails to Trails is a proposal by the Union Grove Community Development Authority, along with Leadership Union Grove, trying to use abandoned Sioux Line right-of-way to create a trail from the Grove that will connect to the Racine to Sturtevant Trail, as well as the 19-mile trail that goes from Elkhorn through Burlington to the Vandenboom Road area in Dover. Village has been working with the DOT and the National Rails to Trails Conservancy. Well, you haven't heard as much about it lately versus a few weeks ago when Pokemon Go was just sweeping the country. Looks like two men from Waukegan maybe got a little too involved by another means while in Kenosha this week. Police found a car stopped in the middle of the 5300 block of 8th Avenue. Upon confronting the driver, 30-year-old Marvin McBride reportedly stated he was playing Pokemon Go and something was at this spot. Reports indicate officers smelled marijuana with the vehicle. That prompted the discovery of a small amount of the drug by a canine. The pot apparently connected, though, to 26-year-old LaMarcus Robinson. He got the citation for that. McBride cited for a suspended driver's license. NFL could be facing a lawsuit from ticket holders to the Pro Football Hall of Fame game between the Packers and Colts that never took place due to the paint drying problem with the field surface. A national law firm says at least 24 fans want to file a class action lawsuit against the league and the Hall of Fame over the game's cancellation. They want travel expenses reimbursed after only receiving refunds on their tickets. And the mayor of Racine will argue this, not here. A new Harvard study says millions of Americans may be exposed to unsafe drinking water, not even knowing it. Here's more on that from Mark Chase.
Scientists found unsafe levels of industrial chemicals called PFSAs in water samples taken across the country. The chemicals are used to make things like food packaging, fabrics, and nonstick cooking pans. But when ingested, they can cause health problems. Studies have linked the chemicals to high cholesterol, obesity, and even cancer. Other studies indicate they may even weaken the immune system in children. Samples show the highest level of PFSAs were near industrial sites, military bases, and wastewater treatment plants. I'm Mark Chase.
Our AccuWeather forecast is coming up. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.